There are so many big questions right now. When will this end? How bad is it going to get? How can we keep each other safe? Am I going to be in the same job in a few years' time that I'm currently doing right now? How can I care for my parents? Should I go to university or defer a year? And then there are the smaller questions. When am I going to be able to go for a meal with my friends and family again? What about our holiday that we've booked? And when will the Premier League start? And of course, at times like this, people are also asking broader questions, spiritual questions. And we see this in what people are Googling right now. How do I pray? What's the meaning of life? Does God exist? And if God does exist, what's he like? Now, all of us here this morning have some reason to be tuning in. And I guess it's not unreasonable to imagine that most of us not only believe in God and probably believe something very significant about Jesus, that he was the Son of God or the Messiah or Lord, but not all of us. And most of us, maybe even all of us, will have questions about God. What's he like? Why does he act the way he does? Well, all of us are trying to make sense of God in some way or other. And he's a mystery to us, really, even though we say very strong things about him. He's hard to pin down. And we all have slightly different thoughts about him. Some of us may be feeling completely secure in him and feel he's strong and in control. While others of us may feel that he's let us down and we're disappointed, angry even. Some of us may have suffered a very difficult kind of trial and wonder where God is or where he's been all these years. And maybe even if he's really there at all anymore. And others of us may be feeling just kind of flat about him, you know, kind of ambivalent. You know, I'm interested in how you see God. I genuinely love it. I find it fascinating to hear what people think and how they think about God. I love to go into those kind of conversations where people begin to express their tentative feelings and thoughts about him. And whether they're Christians or not, I find it endlessly fascinating. So how are you feeling about God right now? Do you know? What's he like? How would you describe him to yourself? What do you really think? Have a think for a moment. The Bible is a library of books in one book, but divided into two. There's the Old Testament and the New Testament. And the New Testament is a series of books and letters that tell the story of Jesus, a rabbi, a prophet who lived 2,000 years ago. This Jesus had a mum and a dad, like you and me. His was called Mary and Joseph, and he had some brothers and sisters. And he came from a place called Nazareth, and you can still visit that today. Before his baptism by his cousin John, who we now call John the Baptist, he worked with his hands in the family business. But after that, he spent 3 years as a rabbi, teaching and leading his disciples, talking about the arrival of what he called the kingdom of God, healing the sick and performing miracles. Sounds easy, but remarkable at the same time. And although he gained quite a following in the end on a fateful Passover weekend in Jerusalem, he was arrested and crucified and buried. Of course, a couple of days later, some of his disciples began reporting that they'd seen Jesus and that he had risen from the dead. Now, all of this is strange and unheard of. It's not normal. It doesn't make sense. But ever since, millions of people have been grappling with the question of whether this story is true or not. And if it is true, what it means. There are four accounts of this story in the New Testament that start the New Testament: Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they have lots of similarities, but John is unique, and we're going to be looking at that over the next few weeks. But basically, they're all trying to answer the same question: who is this Jesus? And what does he mean for us today? Now, John's account, his gospel, his good news, is written in such a way to persuade his readers to believe in Jesus. He makes that very clear. That's his aim. He wants us to put our trust in him, not just to believe that he existed or to believe that he said some interesting things or to believe that he did miracles or healed a few people or that he even died a cross and even rose from the dead. No, John doesn't want us to believe in facts about Jesus. He wants us to believe in him. So what's the difference between believing something about Jesus and believing in him? John wants us to put our trust in Jesus, or to put it another way, to give our allegiance to him, to submit to his authority and to trust him with our lives. And so he starts his story with one of the most famous passages of writing in the whole Bible. We hear it at Christmas time particularly. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light to all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. In the beginning. It reminds us of the first sentence of the Old Testament. And what John is claiming is remarkable, that when it says that God said, let there be light, and there was light, that that word, that voice, was Jesus himself. Wow. John then cuts away to another John for a while, talks about John the Baptist, to place him in the story. But then he returns to his major theme. Jesus. The Word became flesh, he says, and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. And the finale that he rounds it all off with is this: no one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God and is in the closest relationship with the Father, has made him known. No one has ever seen God. Now that's true. But the one and only, or the one and only Son, who is himself God, that's an incredible claim, and who is right up close to God by his heart or by his side, has made him known. Now, there are so many things going on in these verses, but let us not miss the simple point that John is trying to make. Jesus was not just Jesus, the guy from Nazareth. Jesus was God. If you see Jesus, you see God. There's an old joke that's lost its power now from many retellings about the Sunday school teacher who asked the children, what's grey and has a bushy tail and jumps from tree to tree? And there's a pause, and then a hand tentatively goes up. Yes, Johnny, well, I know the answer is Jesus, but it sure sounds like a squirrel. Many of us have been trained to know that the answer is always Jesus. But what if we hadn't been trained to think like that? What if we had never heard about this Jesus before? Why would we ever come to think that a guy called Jesus was also the Word at the beginning, who created everything and was actually God himself? Now, that is a question. And over the next few weeks, with a little help from my friends, I'll be hoping to answer that question as we journey together through the first five chapters of John's Gospel. Now, there is always going to be more to say about this Jesus, but in these five chapters, we will cover some great ground and hear some amazing stories about Jesus that John hopes will help to convince us of what he's become convinced about. That if you want to know what this God is like, then look at Jesus. Now, this is the heart of the Christian faith. Christianity isn't man seeking answers about God. It is God seeking man in the flesh, full of grace and truth, come to us. The Word became flesh, it says, and moved into the neighborhood or into our lives, moved next door. It is God come to us to reveal himself to us.